Hello, everyone. Today, we make it about me for once. Where I come from, what my training is, and why you should consider listening to the things that I have to say. Please enjoy.
Welcome to the Perfect Workout Podcast, where fitness meets simplicity. I'm Kyle Recchia, CEO of the Perfect Workout. I'm joined by Jim Keen, our Director of Training. We hope you enjoy today's episode. Welcome back, everybody. Or welcome if this is your first time. Either way, welcome.
Welcome.
And today's episode, we are going to have the pleasure, hopefully, we'll see, of diving deeper into who the heck is Jim Keen. So the reason we're talking about this, other than the fact that he might be the most interesting man in the world.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Is because we did a prior episode, as you all know, with myself and Jane Riley on who the heck is this guy, Kyle Recchia. And so we thought it'd be good for you to get to know your host a little bit. And so, Jim, welcome back. We missed you on a few episodes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good to be back, but I had to clear my head.
You know,
get out and about for a week or two.
I get that. Day walk. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Just...
So I don't even know where to start other than, like, why don't you just tell us who the heck you are? Like, where'd you come from? What's your background? Why are you in fitness? Why are you the way that you are?
Yeah, well, that's a longer episode. But regarding fitness, I guess the main question, maybe it's been 20-something episodes, maybe by this point 30, depending on when this gets released. But basically, the audience listening to this, they might say, well, this is good information so far as it goes, but why should we be listening to you? Like, mm-hmm. Who are you? So, and everyone always says, so is your training like in exercise science or can you, like, what's your background? And I go, it's in trumpet playing.
Yeah.
I said, what are you talking about? So my first career, I was a trumpet player, and that's how I spent my 20s. So I went to Indiana University and studied trumpet performance. They do give degrees in trumpet performance.
Whoa.
And so I got that degree. And then within a year, I was out on the road with tours of musicals, like Broadway musicals. They would go on tours, and I'd be in the pit orchestra for those tours. So
give an example. Like, what's one of the big musicals people would recognize?
So I did, first it was Chicago the Musical, and then Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, which was magical. And then it was 101 Dalmatians.
Wow.
And Legally Blonde. And then we did Catch Me If You Can. And then there was one little stint of 2 or 3 months where we did A Christmas Story from, November and December of that year.
And which one was your favorite? What was the most fun? I'm a drummer, you know this.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just have to ask, like, which was the most fun for you to play?
Honestly, probably Legally Blonde.
Really?
Yeah, it's rock and roll, and it's a little bit of reggae, it's swing, it's just kind of pop, Broadway type stuff, but it had a lot of different styles, and the trumpet book is a lot of higher, faster, louder, fun trumpet stuff. But, of course, I did 242 shows of, oh my God, you guys, Ellen Monica. So it haunts my dreams still to this day. But it was a great way to spend my 20s, and how it ended up was that I was on the road, and I was basically working 3 hours per day. I would do the show at night. And then I'd wake up in the hotel in whatever town I was in. And I would have nothing to do kind of all day. And I'd go explore the city. But I didn't have to be anywhere until the call, 30 minutes. This is your 30-minute call. And you had to be backstage and getting dressed and doing your thing. Anyway, so I decided I needed a hobby. And I decided for my hobby, I should decide how to get less fat. Because at the time, I grew up a fat kid and I became a fat guy, got really good at drinking and eating in college. But then by the time I was on the road at my peak, I tipped the scales. At the highest I ever saw was 262.
Okay.
And then I feel like I got fatter from there, but I didn't have whatever it took in here to step on the scale again. Sure. And it wasn't the good, like, Ronnie Coleman 262. It was big fat guy 262. So that wasn't so great.
What age was this?
This was 23, 24.
Okay.
Something like that. And so at first, I knew it was going to be diet and exercise. And so I figured I would start reading into just the popular books of the day. So at the time, this was 2009, 2010, 2011. There's like kind of two camps that I explored. The first one was like the Gary Taubes, Good Calories, Bad Calories, was the Finian Volek keto stuff that was going on at the time. And that whole genre of things. So the insulin hypothesis and the hormonal basis of adipose tissue gain or loss, et cetera. And then I started to hear at the time, remember blogs? There were blogs. Ugly word, blog.
My dad told me about these things.
Yeah, short for weblog. And so they called blogs, they called them. So then there were competing, well, that's wrong. It's calories in, calories out. They said, no, it's a hormonal basis, not, and it went back and forth. And so I started reading a lot of like Martin Burkhan, the lean gains guy, Alan Aragon, Lyle McDonald, that was a big influence. And then Brett Contreras and Eric Helms and Brad Schoenfeld and like the evidence-based crew, Lane Norton. And then there's Tobbs and Michael Eads and these days like Ben Bickman and the hormonally based guys. And it's like, it's very much like there's one movie playing. You have two people watching the movie and you bring them out afterwards into separate rooms. You ask them to describe the movie and what happened and you get two completely different versions, even though they were watching the same movie. So it's like, girls, you're both pretty. So I started digging into that and through trial and error, I started losing weight, losing weight, losing weight. And then I was in a Barnes and Noble. This is a true story. Out in Vernon Hills, my hometown. And I was in a Barnes and Noble and I saw a book by Ellington Darden called The New High Intensity Training. And I think it had been published in 2007, maybe 2008. And it was incredible. It was about high intensity training, not the interval training that we know about today, high intensity training, very intense, very brief, and very infrequent. And he told stories about this guy named Arthur Jones. And I became fascinated by this character, you know, this guy who had 10,000 hours of flight experience by the time he was 19 and flew across, lived in Africa. He was the first person to transport elephants across the Atlantic Ocean by plane. First person ever.
For those listening, I don't know if you should dig deeper or not, but he is a fascinating person.
He's very fascinating. Very, very old school. At any rate, he, it turned out, I Googled him after I read this book, and it turns out there was a website, arthurjonesexercise.net, and he is, everything he had ever written was linked. And so the most famous thing he wrote was in 1970, he came out with the Nautilus bulletins. And for those who don't recall, the Nautilus machines were the original weight stack sort of machines, and they had a pulley that was a weird, almost like a bean shape, looks like a nautilus shell. And the idea was it would make the weight that's on the stack feel heavier at different points in the range of motion. And he built a whole line of machines that became very popular in the 70s and 80s, and they formed the basis for the perfect workout as it started in 1999.
And we still use Nautilus machines in most of our studios today.
Still in use today, and they're still effective as they were. And so I started reading everything this guy had ever written, and I'm just thinking to myself, how come nobody knows about this? How come I've never heard before that the quality of the muscular contraction is dependent upon the quality of the resistance against which the muscle is made to contract? How come I thought it's 3 sets of 10. Just do all the different angles and do, like, we all have these in the Flex magazine, like whatever those programs were, 30 sets of chest, you know, do that twice a day. And so anyway, so at the same time, I was having this nutritional sort of epiphany and slowly losing weight, and I was learning about the strength training side of life and that whole genre. So anyhow, it was, I think it was in 2011. I was suffering at the time from what's known as prolonged adolescence. And prolonged adolescence is a...
Did you say was past tense?
Oh, yeah, was. That was weeks ago. I've matured a lot since then. But so I was behaving as though I was still in college, but I was out on the road. I'm like mid, you know, 26, 27, mid 20s. And then I heard a great definition at one point, and there was someone, I forget if it was a book, maybe a blog, could have been a movie or a TV show. They said, the definition of adulthood is when you begin to contribute more than you consume. And they described it like when you're a baby, it's 0 to 100. And you're consuming everything, you contribute nothing except a full diaper every now and then. And then maybe you do some chores around the house when you're 5, 6, 7 years old. Okay, 10, 90. Then you get a paper route, or in my case, became a caddy. Okay, cool. It's like 30, 70. This continues, and you could go your whole life and never become an adult. Or you could become an adult at 16 if you begin contributing to society more than you are consuming. And so that resonated with me. I thought, I am suffering tragically from prolonged adolescence. And what could I do with what I have where I am right now? And and at the time, I had just gotten down from that 262, probably a little heavier, down to 170 was my lowest when I was on the road. And that was living in hotels, just not cooking any of my own food, eating at restaurants and gas stations for every single meal, no home cooked meal.
So you're on the road, and you're just getting into this stuff, and the combination of high intensity strength training plus watching what you eat, et cetera, almost 100 pounds while traveling.
Yeah. So whenever we get to we would arrive in a new town at like 2 p.m. and the sound check's at 4:30. And I would get, remember taxi cabs?
Uh-huh.
So I would get taxi cabs, and I would go find whatever the closest gym was and purchase a day pass for $10. and get my workout in and figure it out, and then taxi back to the hotel and then get on the bus. We go to sound check and then do the show that night. And so I kept doing my workouts like that. And then I figured out all the gas station, you know, you got hard-boiled eggs and beef jerky and some cheeses, and there's different things you can do.
I'm going to lead the witness here because I happen to know of a story, but is there anything creative you did in the hotels to cook your dinner?
Oh, yeah, that's pretty funny. So I learned early on, if you take the so you're in a hotel and you want to eat well, and it's not a very good area. So what you do is you find a grocery store and you get a ribeye and you pick up also some tinfoil and some the seasoning. And so you get to the hotel room, you take the iron and you plug it in the bathroom, and you put it upside down. And then you, but before you plug it in, put the tinfoil over it so it doesn't get dirty. And then you plug it in and you have to set towels around it so it stays level. And then once it gets hot and you can kind of feel it, you season the beef, and then you can actually cook a ribeye on an iron in a hotel room
somewhere in the world. There are multiple people going, finally, I understand why my dress shirt smells like ribeye.
Yeah,
after staying at this Motel 6.
Yeah, I said heavy starch, but this is ridiculous. So I have all sorts of, and I want to do ice baths. Like I got into like cold plunging and stuff, but I was living in hotels. So it turns out another trick is that instead of a little measly bucket they give you for the ice, what you do is you get all the pillowcases off all the pillows and you carry that to the ice machine. You fill up the pillowcases full of ice and you swing them over your shoulder like Santa Claus. And that way you get back and you can move a lot of ice at the same time and fill up the tub and get a nice plunge.
Resourceful, so, if nothing else.
Yeah. It's really funny when the cast was like, hey, we need ice for our drinks. And I'm like, back off. I'm filling up the pillowcases. Rah! So I kept working out and how am I going to contribute more than I consume? And what I decided was, well, I just lost like 90, 100 pounds-ish. So I could start some sort of online business where I help people do exactly what I just did. I've learned a lot along the way because every day I had about 8-9 hours where I would just be watching YouTube videos and reading blogs and reading books. And I would order books from Amazon to be delivered to the address of the hotel at which I was going to be in a week. I call them, have them hold it for me. So when we checked in, so I think you got a package for me. They go, yep, here's cellular metabolism, or here's, you know, this, that, or the other. So I thought, oh, cool, I got my book. And so I would read these books. I also had a Kindle I got later, because it had to stay under 50 pounds. So the Kindle was solid and it's clutch. And so anyway, so I started a business, an LLC, where I would be on, email correspondence, but then Skype calls at the time, today Zoom. But I was on video calls with clients, and then I would go play the show at night. And so I was helping people. So I felt like I was contributing a little bit more. This is cool. And then I saw a grainy video, I want to say 2009, 2010-ish, of the first prototype of what would become the fast fit machines.
Oh, wow.
And it was, imagine a forklift, but the forks have pads on them. It's moving up and down. And some poor guy was underneath there and it was doing a squat and it would force him down.
Oh man.
And then there's a little LED readout, not a graph, not a computer, just a little LED readout of how many pounds he was producing. And then on the way up, he was trying to go fast and then it would resist and restrict his speed. And so this is what I just read about. This is what the Nautilus machines were doing too. They're varying the resistance. But wait a minute, even the Nautilus machines, they vary the resistance from different joint angles, but not positive, negative, and not from the beginning to the end of the set. Man, so this solves all the problems. And so I got very enthused about that. In 2011, in January, I was in San Antonio on tour, and I had seen these machines were in Austin. So I contacted the guy I'd seen in the videos, said, hey, can I come try these machines? Yeah, come on down. And I tried it. It felt exactly like I was hoping it would feel, blew my mind. And I made a plan right around then to be part of this somehow. Mm. And so I got so enthused. So I had my fat loss coaching online. And then I was really into this technology. And I ended up in March of 2013, gave the call to my my boss and said, this is going to be the last one. When the contract's up in July, that's it. Now, I'm from Chicago, so I got off the road and I moved back to Chicago, and I bought one of the first prototypes of the ARX machines.
Okay.
The Omni, kind of the home version. Mm-hmm. And so I had this crappy little one-bedroom apartment in Chicago, 2 blocks north of Wrigley Field, And I was going to help people, by God. So I had the nutritional thing, and that was kind of paying the rent while I started this thing up. But I basically had a one-bedroom apartment. It wasn't basement. It was a garden apartment. So you stood up, and you're at sidewalk level. And so it was a card table and then this machine and then my bedroom and the kitchen.
That checks out.
Yeah, and it was awesome. It was awesome. I hung a shingle out, $20 cash to come work out on my robot. And so I started giving work. I was just very, very rudimentary, but I knew all the principles underneath what I wanted to have happen because I had spent hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours just in whatever hotel room, just learning more and finding and being curious about more stuff. And so I was helping people lose a lot of weight, and then I ended up training people in person. And then the guy from whom I had bought the machine, Mark Alexander, founder of ARX, I said, hey, this software is no good. It doesn't show my clients what they need to see. And this hip belt, it's really uncomfortable. It's like for draft horses or something. And finally, he just says, stop bothering me. You want a job or something? And so I joined the team, and such as it was. And then we started developing what is now today ARX. And so for ARX, for the last, let's see, since 2013, from 2013 to 2022, I first was kind of a little bit of everything. So it was sales of ARX machines, experimenting with protocols, and then training people who would buy the ARX machines how to use the ARX machines. And then traveled around for trade shows and training clients myself in Chicago. And then I moved in 2016 down to Austin. At that point, I stopped training clients regularly, and it was just kind of off and on for various purposes. And then, so I've been using these machines since 2013. But I've been learning about all this stuff and kind of, it's not quite self-educated. I'd say it's self-directed education. And then just drilling really deep into whatever the topic is.
This is how you and I met, 2018?
I think it was 17. Halo FX, on YouTube. And it's great because I saw on your thing, The Perfect Workout. I said, oh, you're with The Perfect Workout. Cool. You guys do this super slow. Check this out. I want to do like the ARX version of super slow.
Yep.
And we did leg press, chest press, row. Or
those hyper reps.
Right. Yeah. Just straight through for 2 minutes. And then I strategically filmed you right after you had finished your third one and you had a good case of the post-workout delirium.
That's right.
But yeah, so that's how we met and that's where we connected. And then if you remember 2019 in September, you guys came down, so the Perfect Workout team came down because there was this idea, we're going to take the ARX machines and put them within the Perfect Workout for a pilot location. And we did that, and it was a weekend in September where it came down to Austin, and then I said, here's how I think it could work. And I gave them a nice little PowerPoint presentation, and I said, here's how it works, and here's how it could upgrade the Perfect Workout. And it was so compelling that they said, you got to come out in November, we'll get two machines in a room. And what we're going to do is you need to stay here for a week. I said, oh. So you need to come, all of our like members in this region, we're going to have you give them their first ARX experience. So that went great. And then the world exploded in 2020. So the whole thing had to sort of be put on hold. But then fortuitously at the end of 2022, it became mutually beneficial for me to join the team. And so Kyle, you said, hey, we're going to be doing this, the machines and some new, we've decided we're going to step on the gas on that. And so we need you to come on and figure out how to, you know, help that work. So
yeah.
So then I joined the team January 2023 and have been with the Perfect Workout 2.5 years now. So yeah, time flies.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I was on a train because that Christmas I had decided I was going to take an Amtrak from Austin to Chicago. It was like flying is... I want to take a train. I want to see the world go by. So we got the sleeper car and the whole thing. I remember I was on that train while, hey, Kyle, yeah, well, what do you think about this? All right. Yeah, you're hired. Okay, cool. Yeah, we'll talk. But that was kind of the path. It was something where, in retrospect, it seems silly. You don't quit your entire career for which you trained 16 years, the trumpet playing, to live in a one-bedroom with no real job except you're going to train people on your robot in a one-bedroom apartment. It doesn't make a lot of sense, but I just knew I needed to contribute more than I was consuming. And I also knew that with everything I had just learned about how strength training works and how exercise works and the benefits it can have, of which people are not really aware, all the things we talk about in all these podcasts, people, they don't understand that they couldn't explain it to you if you asked them, 'cause they haven't been made aware. So all of that. I can help people that much. Wow. And then it was like the ARX thing. Wow. If I sell an ARX machine to someone and they get clients, now I'm indirectly helping even a greater number of people. And then when it came to join on with the Perfect Workout, it's like, whoa. So now there's thousands and thousands of people I'm indirectly benefiting from doing what I'm doing. So the constant thread and everything was helping a greater and greater number of people using anything I had at the time to use for that purpose, and which is these podcasts. So these podcasts, I'm just sort of yapping, but if it helps people and if people can get a different perspective on something and can think about something in a different way that they can use to help themselves and their families and their friends, or, hey, pass this along, or, hey, I heard on this thing that this, so you should do this differently. If anything like that can help, well, that's just yet another way that I can help. And so that's been sort of the name of the game. And so that's where I came from, and this is what I'm doing now, and that's what I got.
Man, and we are so blessed, like, to have you. Like, so you and I met, 17, and I think most people probably that have heard our podcast would hopefully agree with this, but, man, you're such a great communicator. I've been going to gym for years. Here's this big complex thing I don't really understand, and you have this power to give me some weird little analogy and story. And I go, okay, well, yeah, I guess I get that now. And
Jim GPT, just the original.
The original AI.
Hey.
And talk about an impact. I mean, we're just getting started. So not only is Jim our director of training, and he is such a great confidant to all of us here, but you're also, you know, not just doing these podcasts, but we've developed our new FastFit machine and that technology because of you and your experience there. And I think it's safe to say we're just getting started.
Yeah, they say grow where you're planted, and I'm super pumped to be planted here. And like you said, just the beginning. So
I love it.
That's going to be awesome.
Well, cool, man. See, he doesn't have as weird of a background as you might have thought.
See, all normal stuff. Standard stuff.
Just a caddy, trumpet player guy cooking steaks in a hotel.
Trumpet to fitness technology pipeline. Everybody knows about that. Totally normal.
Well, thanks for today. It was fun.
Hey, thank you.
All right, man. See you soon.
All right.
Thanks for tuning in to the Perfect Workout Podcast. We hope you found today's episode inspiring and actionable. If you're ready to take the next step in your fitness journey, visit us at theperfectworkout.com for more resources or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with someone who could benefit. Together, let's make fitness simple, empowering, and a part of life well lived. See you next time.